Now, every year, 240,000 students graduate from colleges and universities in Beijing alone, yet only fewer than 10,000 of them can obtain a local residence registration, or the so-called hukou. And however, lucky and so unlucky, how we define it, right? A young man who got the hukou because he took a job as a teacher in a Beijing middle school. And the school is located in Tongzhou, a suburban area in Beijing. But 1 year later, he quitted the job. And then because he signed the contract, a contract of 7 years of service, yeah, right? And he was asked to compensate the school with 310,000 yuan. Number one is the violation of a contract is very solid, right? Evidence. But then where does the money come from? 310,000 yuan. Is that reasonable, we are asking? And is a Beijing hukou so desirable and valuable? So what happened?
So before we dive into whether a Beijing hukou is still very valuable, now we can take a look back on what actually happened in this case. And the young man who's surnamed Liang, Mr. Liang, he have graduated in August 2015, and he got a job as a physics teacher in a local middle school in Tongzhou district of Beijing, and which helped him obtain a local hukou. But as a requirement, he signed a 7-year contract with the school, and which will be valid until July the 31st, 2022. Yet he quit a job 1 year later because he believes he find another position with much higher salary. But this time, he ran out of his luck because the school told him first to the District Labor Dispute Arbitration Committee, asking Mr. Liang to pay the school 310,000 yuan in compensation. And to be more specific, this include 110,000 for breach of the contract, 200,000 for introduction of talent. And the committee supported that Liang didn't agree with the decision and filed a lawsuit at the district court, which supported the school's requirement last week. So by last Thursday night, the topic has already been viewed 30 million times on Sina Weibo with over 2,000 comments.
So just so that I heard this correctly, I just want to make sure. Is it a 7-year contract? I mean, that's the longest employment contract I've ever heard of.
It's like a lifelong, right? It's like a permanent one. I've been
an expat for about 5 years. And all of the contracts that I've been exposed to are one year or two years.
At most 3 years, right? Yeah. Usually.
So, wow, it's just, I can't imagine being joined to the hip, you know, to a labor contract for that long. And, you know, you're not really sure about the company culture and how amicable everything's going to be. So it just feels like it's a really, really big commitment.
But you know, Huangshan, a contract is a contract, don't you think?
Yeah,
so?
Yeah, I do believe
if
that.
If you put your pen on that piece of paper, then you're going to honor that. That's my understanding of a contract.
And also, I think it's a norm in Beijing, especially for those fresh graduates, because if they want to obtain a Beijing hukou and they got the hukou from the employment with the company, then usually the company will ask you to sign a contract. But the term, the length of the contract depends different companies. Some company may ask you to sign a 5-year contract, but I think the minimum time would be 3 years, but usually it will be 5 to 7 years.
Government institutions used to sign you in for just 6 years.
Just 6 years.
You know, because they don't want you to abuse the system.
Yes.
Because hukou is still very valuable.
Yes.
And because it comes, when you get a hukou, it comes with you, with it, a lot of benefits. And then your life will become much, much easier. So let's see, you know, what have we received on the comments online? I mean, who is saying what on the internet?
I think most netizens, they blame Mr. Liang for breaking the contract. Because some of the comments blame him, saying it's so hard to get a Beijing hukou and the school helped him make it, and Mr. Liang should at least honor his contract. And also, this will be on his own credit. it's like a black mark on your resume. Like you quit a job, but you got a job just for the hukou.
But this one, I have a dispute because we are not sophisticated in credit, you know, credit system yet. So that's why he can, you know, venture or risk of having, you know, doing such a thing. But if it's a sophisticated, well-built, we have a well-built sort of built credit system, I think Liang will reconsider his decision because it is he himself who signed the contract, right? And he knew at the very beginning it's a 7-year service contract. I wonder, I'm thinking about the money thing. So if the contract, within the contract, it's written clearly the how much or the amount of money that he's going to pay, then, you know, he should give up, you know, suing the school. But he didn't even bother, according to the story, he didn't even bother with the school to negotiate a compensation. Because at the very beginning, guess he is determined to leave, maybe, and temporarily use the system to get a hukou. Because hukou has, in this case, or in many of the cases, I really don't want to see that hukou, the status, a residence status, has turned into a commodity. This is a bad thing. Commodities is for trading, right? Hukou is not something for you to trade with. Trade with your lifetime, trade with 7 years, or how much money you can buy it and sell it. No, it's not a commodity. So what else people are saying on the comment online?
I just have something to say here. I wonder if that clause was enunciated at the time when this individual signed the contract. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, in my experience with employment contracts, it's typically a mountain of documents that you have to sign. And it's very easy to sign a document and not read, you know, the fine line. And I just can't imagine someone signing a document saying that if I leave the contract before the 7 years is up, then I'm going to have to pay this enormous, exorbitant amount of money. So I'm wondering if this was even brought up when this person was hired on, because I can't see someone just admitting or just being able to pay this amount of money.
So that means that this guy, the Mr. Liang, didn't even realize how much, what was the consequence actually, right? But he was told definitely that there will be consequences, you know, when at the time when he signed the contract. So do you think the court decision is a reasonable one?
I do think it's very reasonable because he need to pay for his behaviors. And maybe there's another possibility. Maybe he already predicted the outcome. Maybe he just did it for a trade, as you mentioned before. He think, oh, maybe a hukou worth that much of money.
310,000. I don't know.
Some netizens said 310,000 is worth the, you know, for the luxurious product as a hukou.
Yeah.
Because if you even them out, you break them up, right? And then in the future 7 years or so, you need just to earn, need to earn some extra more to compensate whatever. But again, you know, having seen people commenting on this matter like that, I was like, oh, no. People are, you know, using it. Actually, people are abusing this system to get something they desperately want. And then you cannot sell, definitely, but you can buy. And once you get it, it's permanent, life permanent. You know, so that's why there are experts out there who says that we need to make this hukou a non-permanent one. It's like a green card. The United States, in your country, people started to abuse the green card system by forced marriages, by forced political asylums, by a lot of forced stuff, you know, fake stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to use the loopholes.
But then after some sort of corrections, the policy has been changed in terms of, so far as I know. If you marry somebody for a green card, that one can only last for 2 years. And then if the marriage didn't work out, you know, within that 2 years, then the green card will be taken back.
But I don't think that the person who would try to get a green card would be saddled with a lot of debt. And I just feel that this individual must have not known the repercussions of what he did, because I can't imagine anyone willingly walking into $310,000 of or yuan of debt. It's just really difficult for me to grasp.
And we don't have a system there which says that, okay, I do not have money to pay for you, but can I give this hukou back to you?
Wow.
It's like in the green card, you can take it back, right? Yeah. Your qualification, you're disqualified, you know, because you violated a contract.
Yeah.
But we did, the system, the hukou system didn't work that way. Mm. Let's talk about the history of hukou a little bit. And hukou is very typically unique of Chinese system. And it's it is playing a very important role in the management of population.
Mm.
Imagine that back decades ago, even, you know, four decades ago before China opened up and started economic reform, hukou is so important.
Mm.
You have, okay, because food was rationed, even cloths for making clothes were rationed. Everything's rationed, oil, eggs, everything.
Wow.
So you have a hukou, it's a small book where members of the family were written there, how old you were and how much food you should be assigned to, or subsidies, everything. So you were assigned to go to specific stores to buy your substance. Mm.
So you couldn't go to certain stores, that you had to go to specific ones.
Yeah. Because that was in a planned economy. That was how the economy worked. And then if you go travel to another place, you have to, okay, whoever sent you, for example, you work for a factory, right? You have a business thing to do. And then you travel from Beijing to Shanghai. Then you need to present a letter of introduction.
Oh.
You then present it to the company you are dealing business with, and then they will receive you, give you the amount of food, accommodation, everything, and being you were well taken care of. That time, during that era, hukou was so important. But as years, you know, decades have passed, the four decades, how important is hukou now?
I think the reason why the hukou is becoming more valuable is in line with the rapid development of urbanization in China. Because today we are talking about Beijing hukou, the capital city's hukou. Because so many people, they from second or third tier cities or some countryside, and they're trying to find a work and settle down in Beijing. And the hukou is a very useful thing for them. It means the household registration status. And also with the hukou, you can enjoy several benefits. For example, you can buy a house, buy property here. You can join the lottery system to get a car.
Lottery system.
Yeah, to get a car lessons.
Get a fortune overnight.
Yes, because now it's not easy to own a car, actually. And also, you can enjoy the social insurance. And it's not only good for you, but also for the next generation. For example, your children, they can enjoy the education in Beijing. Mm. They can take part in the university entrance examination in Beijing, because we know if you take the Gaokao, the university entrance examination in Beijing, you can use lower scores to get in better universities.
Oh, wow.
And also for your spouse. So maybe your spouse can also obtain a Beijing hukou. But I think now China is trying to tighten the regulation on how you can obtain a hukou. Because before, someone married for a Beijing hukou. But now the requirements are getting harsher, because even your spouse has a Beijing hukou, but you need to wait until you're 45 years old, and also you have been involved in a marriage for over 10 years, then you are able to obtain a Beijing hukou.
You mentioned driver's license earlier.
Yeah.
Is this also about the license plate as well? Because I know some
it's actually the license plate. But as long as you get a license plate, then you can get a car. Without license plate, you can drive your car on the road.
Okay, it's all about control the expansion of the city.
Yes.
Because mega cities like Shanghai, Beijing, Guangzhou, and even Chongqing, they have too large a population already. And a large mega city has problem like pollution, traffic congestion, and a lot of problems we call the diseases of mega cities. But then people still pouring, continued pouring. Why? Because life is much easier. Mm-hmm. The good resources, everything, living standards are higher.
Salaries
and
are much
the salaries
higher.
Are higher also. But living costs are higher too. So they are yes. just the twins, right? Mm. But the best thing about megacities is that we have a concentrated abundant abundance in the best of things, technology, education, medical care, everything. Yeah. So, for example, these are not a must now. But before, as I said, compared to the past, if you don't have a hookah, there's no way for you to live, you know, in the city. Mm. But now, a capable person, really talented person, can do without all these. For example, if you don't have a car yourself, because you don't have a hookah, right? Mm. You can rent a car, no problem.
That's right.
And then property purchases, because Chinese people have a wrong think of that once I started my career, I need to buy a property. That's wrong. Tony, have you bought a property? You're old enough to have several properties, right? According to Chinese parents and Chinese people. I have colleagues here, Lu Yuan, who's living happily in a rented sort of a property. No problem. It's not a must, right?
Right.
And then, but there is something that people are really concerned about. Mm. For example, okay, if you have a kid and both of you don't have Beijing hukou, then some of the best schools are not available, not open to you.
But now there's another alternative.
But we are, actually the city and the government are doing some, our local government and central governments, they are doing something to ease this problem, right?
And also if you are rich enough or your family,
international if you're rich enough.
School, yes, you can send your kids to private school, international schools. It's a really good option.
But so they're really expensive. I mean, a lot of international schools that I've been familiar with, you have to pay about $200,000 to $300,000 a year per kid.
So... this hukou system actually is affecting the low-income people. Mm. It's not the high, like just now you mentioned.
Yeah.
If you're rich enough, you can send your kids to international school, and then blah, 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 blah. And then you can go to, you know, some people who got sick, they go to even the United States to get treatment, right? So all these things is about Chinese government is thinking about if the hukou system is going to be reformed in a way that is greatly going to help the low class people to get a better life. This is why, you know, people are so concerned about it. Even in a matchmaking sort of thing, I do research, people said, hey, you can have lower income, you don't have money, it doesn't matter. You know, even you're not, okay, you're handsome or not, it doesn't matter, you know. Just tell me whether you have a hukou. But that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's actually wrong. And this Liang, come back to this Liang. Mr. Liang many Mr. Liangs out there.
Mm.
What shall we do if we don't have a hukou? How to live a happy life?
That's a really difficult question. There's a process that you would have to follow to go and get a hukou, but you know, and I now that I've heard the story, I feel that perhaps this way of maybe leaving the job early, I don't want to say it's a good idea because he has to pay a lot of money back. But I also feel that, you know, perhaps if he didn't go this route, it would be really difficult to get one. You know, it sounds similar to the green card in the U.S. And now it's becoming increasingly more difficult to get it. And some people have to take drastic measures to get one.
Yeah, indeed. So, it's the same thing, actually. Mm. How many years you can serve and what qualifications, whether you are well-educated, you are the talent that the U.S. society, U.S. government wants. It's the same thing here, that we have a point. I think megacities like Shanghai and Beijing has introduced a point-based sort of system. Mm. And every year, only 6,000, you know.
Oh, wow. Mm.
6,000 can be given hukou.
And <not a lot. laughs>
let me give you, I'm not very good at numbers. We actually, 1/3 of the total permanent population living in Beijing has no hukou.
A third of the population.
A third of the population. So Liang would be acting clever at the beginning, you know. He was looking for a shortcut. to get a hukou. Mm. And he was not really like the one-third of the majority who were really working hard and trying to build up a career of his own. Because he's a teacher in physics, right?
Yeah.
He can definitely, if he focuses on really good teaching. Because there are reports out there says that he actually, the second year, he didn't commit himself anymore to the school's teaching.
Mm.
He was absent and he was, you know, looking for higher salary jobs. It's understandable for people to climb the salary ladders, I call it.
Salary ladder.
Yeah, indeed. I have a lot of co-hosts, you know, quit, you know, co-hosting with me. And then they just go, it's okay. It's legitimate. But then you have to see, you think about the consequences, you know, what is waiting for you, right? And then we talked about how difficult a person can get to this and how many people are abusing this system. So, Huangshan, do you think there will be or there are rooms for us to change the system? Because what went wrong is that Liang was no longer attracted to the school.
Yeah.
So the school was disappointing, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
So in what way that we lose people we initially signed up with?
First, I think it totally depends on the employees because we can try to reduce the loopholes in the system, but we can't stop people to taking advantage of the system. I think that's a really important thing. I think the reason why even he needed to pay such a great amount of compensation, the netizens, most of the netizens are not sympathized with him because he's not a professional teacher. If he's a very professional employee, then maybe people will share some sympathy for him. But as we see that after he decided to quit a job, he didn't show up at a school. That's a not very good attitude.
So his work ethics has a problem.
Yeah, and he even refused to negotiate with the school and talk to the school about his request and what he wants. He just stopped showing up at a school. I think that's not very professional behavior in a workplace.
Well, according to the report, it's a bit difficult to know the full circumstances. It's possible that maybe when this individual started working for this company that
he was disappointed.
Yeah, he was very disappointed. Perhaps some, you know, payment was late on certain instances or, you know, his workload is a lot more than what was promised in the beginning. And, you know, there's a lot of conditions on why people just leave a company. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, so and I agree that there's a hukou in the background of all of this, but I think that there's a lot more factors involved here. And, you know, I mean, if you're unhappy with the place where you're working, obviously, in my experience, you give a 30-day notice or you let the company know that you are not looking to sign the contract again or you're leaving. And in this case, it's clear that he didn't do that. But I think it's a bit difficult to say that it's completely his fault and that perhaps that the company or the school just maybe perhaps didn't honor a few things and maybe there was some friction beforehand. So maybe they saw this coming, but now that he actually is gone, they would like to come after him for money. And it's just really, again, it's really difficult for me to understand why someone would.
It's like a relationship actually went sour and then both of them lost the attraction to each other. And then
right.
You cannot blame just the one party for the wrongdoing.
There's definitely two factors here. So
And it's a sad story, actually, for a young man who just started his own career and then he was burdened with such a penalty fee to pay with. And then I think if he agreed to go back to teach, will that be a solution to the school? Say, hey, I don't have this amount of money. Can I go back and then continue serving for another 7 years or whatever?
I think that bridge has been burned already.
Yeah.
And
oh my God.
Yeah. He already burning the bridge.
I don't think that would be even an option. And I think the fact that he didn't even come back, I think there's a lot more to this puzzle that we don't have access to.
Yes, there are lessons to learn. So stay tuned. You're listening to Roundtable.